You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to the first edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break for this, the 2016-2017 college football season. My name's Grant Bagby, writer, contributor, manager for Torn by Sports. Joining me today is Joseph Silverswig from Block U. How are you doing today, Joseph?
Doing well, doing well.
Good, good to hear it. Just, you know, a couple things for our listeners. You know, normally the lunch break is all about doing just interviews. Today we're going to do something a little different. It's going to be me and Joseph talking pure University of Utah in preparation for the season opener next Thursday against Southern Utah, which I'm sure everyone thinks is going to be a close game, if you can tell my sarcasm. But so first of all, want to give a shout out to our new network we've joined, Blog Talk Radio. All of the Torn by Sports podcasting network has joined up with Blog Talk Radio, and to hopefully improve things for listeners as well as for us as podcasters, and hopefully our listeners will be able to enjoy that benefit here soon. You'll notice there will be some sponsorships at the beginning and ending of shows, and most likely some in the middle as well. So yes, there will be ads, but keep on listening. So to get started, Joseph, I wanted to talk some offense. You know, earlier this week, you wrote a post on Block U about what the offense really needs to fix the throw game and the offense in general. Do you want to go ahead and kind of give us the general thoughts on what that article was and you know, hook people to go read it on Block U?
Sure. So I really just looked at the passing game. I feel like Joe Williams is going to do a good job filling in for Devontae Booker. There's a tremendous amount of depth in the running back position. I don't think we'll see much, if any, drop off there. But I wanted to take a look at the passing game, because when you look at the overall numbers, the passing game didn't look like it struggled too much. But our perception as fans watching the game was that it just wasn't working. And we knew, it seemed we would know when it wasn't going to happen. And so what I did is I took every single offensive play the Utes had last year, and I broke it down a number of different ways. And I discovered that there was a huge discrepancy in what's called success rate based on situation. Success rate is a measure of whether the play did what it was supposed to do or not. It's 50% of first down, 70% of second down, or 100% of third and fourth down yardage. So a 4-yard run on first and 10 is a failure, but a 6-yard pass on second and 8 is considered success for this metric. What I noticed was Utah's got about a 35% success rate on passing down. So if it's not first down and there's more than 5 yards to go, Utah only had a successful play about a third of the time. They were successful over half of the time if it wasn't a passing down, and this is just for passing plays. So what that means is that even though the passing numbers overall were reasonably good, the passing numbers when we really needed to make a passing play, when the defense knew that we were going to pass, were abysmal. And it turns out that it's not too many plays. It's 18 successful plays. If Utah had 18 successful plays, more than they had last year, instead of being 46th nationally, they would have been 25th nationally in success rate. And I imagine they would have won 10 or 11 or possibly even 12 games, depending on which 18 plays we switch over. Given the sort of addition by subtraction that we're looking at this year, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I think it's probably more likely that we're closer to where we were last year, but I'm certainly excited at the potential of this offense has.
But when you say addition by subtraction, are you referring to Travis Wilson not being the quarterback anymore, or the change in coordinators, or what are you referring to?
Really, the whole offense is being replaced. The entirety of the passing game, most of the wide receivers aren't coming back. There's a new running back, so we're completely rehauling the entire offense. And I think that there were a lot of limitations in the passing game last year that were talent related. You know, Duke fans are really fond of these guys, but the reality was that they weren't really performing at a Pac-12 level. The receivers weren't getting open, and Travis wasn't making the throws. You know, I think he was great, and I don't mean to sort of knock what he did. He certainly won a lot of games for the Utes, but there's a step up that the Utes need to take, and that everybody's waiting for them to take. And we have our first opportunity in 4 years to take that step up because we've got new talent for the first time.
Yeah, no, and I kind of expect them, you know, not to lead ahead. I mean, we're going to talk defense in a little bit, but Morgan Scali, you know, the Pac-12 on the training camp tour, he said, you know, they're really planning on being more aggressive, and I'm sure he's been saying that after practice with the media as well. So they're going to be more aggressive and really fly around a little bit more on defense. I'm kind of expecting the same kind of thing on offense. So, you know, we've got a whole bunch of new blood. We're going to have, you know, coordinators that want to prove themselves, that want to prove that the Utes are a multi-dimensional offense and that you don't just have to stop the run against Utah, which I agree with you. I mean, if they can find a way to do that, it's going to be hard to say the Utes don't at least hold serve and win 10 games again, if not go beyond what they did last year, which kind of seems, you know, fan perception. You know, I think everyone's drinking the Ute Kool-Aid maybe a little bit too much as it's preseason, but it's definitely there. I mean, how do you think the Corey Butler Bird situation is going to play out, and how much of an impact does that have on the Utah throw game?
Well, Corey Butler Bird got what was called a plea in abeyance, which means that once he pays his fine, he'll probably have to go to some kind of anger management class or something like that. The case will be dismissed. It'll be as if he was never charged, which is really setting him up, I think, for an early return. I imagine that he's looking at about 6 weeks to get everything done in terms of getting the case dismissed. And whether or not Coach Whittingham decides to bring him back sooner than that is up to him. And I can't even speculate as to what he would do. But I would expect that Corey Butler Bird is going to be back. And he's a pretty transcendent talent. He's got a remarkable ability for route running. And from my eyes, watching the film from last year, the biggest thing that the Utes were lacking was route running. Our receivers just weren't getting open. You know, Kenneth Scott's was wide receiver one, and he's great at going up and getting a ball, but he was always covered. And it was hard, particularly the quarterback who struggled with accuracy to get him the ball. We had one receiver on the field most games who was a really good route runner, and that was Britton Covey. And despite being about, you know, 5'6 and 155 soaking wet, he picked up more yards than anybody on that offense. So if we can improve route running, that could make a huge difference. And I think Corey Butler Bird could be a big part of that because he's got such a remarkable talent with his feet.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, my prediction for the sake of entertainment is that he's reinstated after the Southern Utah game.
That would be cool. The BYU fans would blow a gasket. So that's what I'm hoping for. We'll see if they actually manage that.
It's coming. 2 days prior to the game, or even day of the game, he's just going to be listed as the starter. And they're going to flip. And it's going to be amazing. That's
Coach
very – see, you weren't willing to throw down a prediction. You weren't willing to throw down a prediction. I'm throwing down a prediction. He will be reinstated just before the BYU game kicks off.
Well, I'm a lawyer by trade, so I always say, well, I don't know. It depends. It's kind of my mantra. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think one game is probably enough. He sounds contrite. Nobody got hurt. I think it's probably about right.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I was really – this has been festering in me and really frustrating me up to this point, and especially, you know, lately there have been some clips that I've seen with some national pundits questioning this offense and specifically questioning this run game. It's just, to be honest with you, it's infuriated me because where the question is going, our O-line is either going to be equal to task or potentially even better this year. And we're replacing Devontae Booker with Joe Williams. And I know Joe Williams is more of a speed back than the punisher that Booker was, but Joe Williams had 121 yards against UCLA, 187 yards against Colorado and almost 100 yards against BYU to end the season when Booker was out. I mean, how in the world are people questioning this offensive line and the fact that Utah is going to have at least the same quality of offense they had last year?
I just think that it's hard to, at this point, it's hard for national pundits to kind of realize that, that Utah's been a running back factory for a while now. You know, we've churned out a lot of yards on the ground for years and years and years since John White, and before him was Matt Asiata and Mack, and I mean those guys could run the ball. And we're starting to get to a point now where we're getting talent that can transition into the NFL. But Utah's been having an effective running attack for years and years and years. I certainly don't have any doubt that they'll be able to replace Booker's production. I think what you're going to see is that we're going to have no running back who picks up those 30 or 35 touches a game. Instead, it's going to be, you know, Joe Williams gets 20 and McCormick gets 10, and then I imagine Zach Moss or one of the other bigger, younger guys is going to wind up doing kind of that third and short power run game duty. I didn't think Zach Moss was going to play this year, but he's bulked up a lot, and he's one of the biggest, fastest backs on the team right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he earns some legitimate playing time or even pops up on the depth chart for the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I actually will say this, that I think by the end of the year, he'll be probably second in carries. I think Zach Moss is now going to have a bigger impact than a lot of people are expecting. And I think it'll be a kind of hidden gem and surprise to some people, others maybe not, because I've just said it. But Zach Moss is going to impact this team is my prediction. You know, let's talk some defense. We're going from Pease, the old man Pease, where, you know, people are asking, I mean, the Utah Man podcast used to have a blast making fun of what old man candy he would have for people. And now we've got Scally, who's a much younger defensive coordinator, been with Whittingham the whole time. You know, what are your expectations to see from the Pease to Scally transition?
What I heard is that Scally was really responsible for the deception and the sort of trickery that made Utah's defense so difficult to predict. I remember after the Cal game last year, Darren Goff said, that was the hardest game I've ever played. I thought I was in cover two every play, and then there would be a safety somewhere where I just didn't expect them to be. And my understanding is that that's Scally, and that Scally was really ready to be a defensive coordinator last season, and that, you know, Coach Witt just felt that extra bit of experience from Pease was going to help him. But from a coordinating perspective, I don't really expect a drop-off. I think Whittingham's pretty hands-on on the defense, and it's more just trust his judgment. At this point, every defensive coordinator he's ever picked has been excellent. And if he thinks Scally can do the job, who am I to say otherwise? In terms of talent, there's definitely replacing to be done at linebackers, but Utah has a top 10 national secondary and a top 5 national defensive line. I think we're just gonna roll right over people up front and make it really, really difficult to throw passes because the coverage is going to be so good. And because Utah's moved to this essentially 5-1-5 scheme where they've got 5 defensive backs, 5 linemen, and just 1 linebacker on a lot of plays, I don't think that the lack of linebackers is really going to hurt, you know, and they'll pull a safety up to help back up that linebacker, and I think that everybody's going to be in really good shape. Honestly, this could be a historically good defense if the linebackers are even okay.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, I've seen some talk on Twitter about the defense and specifically that linebacker position. And as much as I like to play devil's advocate sometimes on these, I actually agree. I mean, the linebacker is just, it's not going to be, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Our D-line and our secondary are so good. And like you said, you just have one linebacker on the field. You're going to have your best players on the field everywhere. And it's just, it's replacing Norris and Gianni Paul as much as that's a bill that needs to be filled, it's going to be tough. It's going to be less of an issue than on most teams and even on the youth in different years and prior to the Pac-12. I guess my one thing that I'm kind of intrigued about is that, you know, the Pac-12 training camp, other situations, I've heard that there's going to be more risk taken by this defense. And will the potentially bigger islands that the secondary might be on be cause for concern of more big plays that might change some of the games? I mean, the last couple of years, the youth, you know, outside of a few games, the youth, in my memory, have been in a lot of close games. And, you know, one big play, because we take a little bit more risk on our defense, could really change some outcomes.
I think that's true. I think the talent of the secondary is going to make up for a lot of that gap, but you're always taking and giving in that kind of evaluation. You know, you're gonna have a situation where you take a greater risk, you get a greater reward, you pick up the sack or a turnover, you know, instead of an incompletion, and that can swing a game the other way. The challenge with those risks is that, in general, a big offensive play is more of a swing in terms of win probability, or in terms of momentum, if you want to talk that way, than a big defensive play. A sack, everybody kind of gets back up, and turnovers are so hard to predict. But I think what you're seeing in terms of the difference between this year and last is the coordinators knew that they couldn't rely on last year's secondary to cover big islands because they were inexperienced. And this year, they're, as I said before, one of the best in the country. So, you know, you got to let your best players achieve and make plays and give them a lot of responsibility so that they can live up to it.
No, that's true. All right, Joseph, I've got the schedule right in front of me, and I'm wondering, which game is your trap game, and then I'll present which one's mine. I would not be surprised if they're the same.
So for my trap game, I picked Cal. I think that they're going to be a little bit better than people expect. Sonny Dykes always rolls out a good offense. It's on the road. It's after a bruising game at USC. That the youths are either going to be coming down off a high or coming down off a low, one way or the other. And then Arizona is the next week, which I think the youths probably have circled on their calendar since they've struggled with them so much. It wouldn't surprise me if we lose focus a little bit and get knocked off up there at Berkeley.
Okay, not the same one. I actually think Oregon State, to me, I feel could be a trap game because I feel like Oregon State has even lower expectations than Cal. And coming off it, you know, I agree that the team is going to be really zoned in on trying and planning on beating Arizona. And then you go on the road against Oregon State, a team you should win after being hyper-focused the week prior. I could totally see kind of the same thing what you're saying is, well, you know, a slip up in the focus, and next you know it, you know, they pull off some kind of win. As a trap game, I still feel it's unlikely, both either of these games that we're talking about. But I'm going to say Oregon State. It's one of those two. It's funny that we've chosen the game either before Arizona or after.
Arizona is such a bear for these youths for whatever reason. I think OSU is a great pick. They return all their passing yards, 91% of their receiving yards, 77% of their rush yards. They're going to be a better offense than they were last year. And then they lose a lot on defense, but they were so bad on defense. They gave up 37 points a game that having the chance to replace that talent and try out new starters, it's kind of the same argument that the youths are using on offense, but whereas the youths were mediocre on offense, the Beavers were downright terrible. I mean, they just couldn't stop anybody. Utah didn't score a lot of points on them last year, but the efficiency stats were mind-boggling. Utah could get as many yards as it wanted, whenever it wanted, and it was just sort of a philosophical decision. And I wonder if not maybe taking it a little easy on the Beavers because of the relationship between the coaches to keep that score down.
All right. Well, I mean, we're talking about the schedule. How do you want to do it? We can go game by game, or do you want to make an overall pick?
Let's do game by game. I'll do them all.
All right. All right, let's do them all. So I'm just going to assume you tell me if you're wrong, SUU win from both of us, right?
It better be. I think SUU is better than people think. They were ranked 18th in the FCS last year. They're ranked 23rd this year. So they can play. I think they're probably about the level of a, you know, middle-of-the-road Mountain West team, but Utah should wipe the floor with them. And their offensive line is inexperienced. You know, and Utah's got maybe as many as six guys who are going to be playing on Sundays on their D-line. I think it's just going to be a kind of a slaughter, honestly, at the defensive end. I'd be surprised if they scored more than 3 points against Utah's ones.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't know that we need to be honest with you. I just hope the team's not overlooking them as much as I am. Let's just put it that way.
Right. We are allowed to overlook them. Let's just hope Coach Whittingham is up. Because the next schedule are tricky.
Yeah, so it's rivalry week after we beat SUU, and the Utes are playing BYU. So, I mean, here's my thing. Since the Utes have joined the Pac-12 in recent history, I mean, outside of, you know, maybe the coaching change has some impact, I just don't see BYU beating Utah. Will the game potentially be closer than it has in the past? Maybe. But I just, like, and this is what I've told the BYU fans I talk to on a regular basis. I'm concerned for BYU trying to go man-to-man in the defensive secondary. Even though our pass game, you would say, is Utah's weakness, I don't see that. I just don't see that being that big of a weakness where we can't take advantage of that secondary and, you know, win against BYU. What do you think?
I think that's completely true. BYU has really struggled to find athletes in the secondary, and Utah's got, you know, they're not mind-blowing, but they're Pac-12 athletes. They're big and they're fast, and they're much better coached this year by all accounts with Guy Holliday. I just think they're going to be open, and I think Troy Williams can make those throws that it's going to be hard to stop. You'll read more about this in my game week article, but I've done some research on how rivalry teams tend to fare if they won five in a row. And they really win most of the games. The five games in a row is a trend, not an aberration. And I think that there's a lot of reasons to think that Utah and BYU just aren't on the same level right now. And BYU is going to get theirs occasionally. And if I were to pick a loss on the schedule that I want to lose, it's actually probably BYU because they're not in conference and it's not a loss that's going to really hurt you nationally. But I don't see it happening. I've got BYU that doesn't win.
Well, I'm impressed that you can take your youth fandom aside and say you're okay losing that game.
It's hard. We'll just brush that over.
It
makes my stomach hurt to say it. But if you're looking at the schedule and you want to lose to USC or BYU, lose to BYU, beat USC, you're way better off.
Yeah, I agree. As much as it would hurt, and I would, either way.
Insufferable as Twitter would be for the next year, it would be worth crack at the Pac-12 championship.
Oh, totally. Agreed. So San Jose State, I highly doubt we're going to disagree here. I see that as a win.
I've got it down as a win, too. But the advanced metrics on San Jose State are not as bad as you might think. Utah, I think FBI has them as a 67% chance to win, right around the same spot as BYU. So it wouldn't be shocking to lose that game. I'd be surprised, but there are sort of statistical reasons to think that one might be a little bit too comfortable about San Jose State. But I've got a doubt.
Okay. All right. So now it's the Pac-12. USC.
I have USC as a loss. I molded over for a while. It's at home, which I like, but I think that where Utah is going to struggle are going to be areas that USC is going to be able to exploit, because they're going to have talent in the right places to make it difficult for Utah, particularly on offense. So I think we're going to have trouble scoring points against USC.
Okay, I can't give up on the home field right there. I think Utah pulls out a close win. I think they're going to beat the Trojans at home. The Trojans are going to have a rough start to their, first four games of their season. They're going to at least have two losses from what I'm predicting. All right, next game is Cal.
I'm going to stick with that as my upset trap game pick. I've got that down as a loss.
Okay. That is not the trap game I picked, and I won't even pick my trap game. I think it's a trap game, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a loss when I pick it. But I don't see that happening. But all right, Arizona.
I've got us beating Arizona for once. It's we're overdue, and we ought to have beat them last year. I think that the U's played a better game, and that they didn't take Booker out soon enough when it was sort of clear to an observer that he was struggling. And then there were a couple of those passing downs where Travis Wilson just couldn't make the throws, and I think we're going to be a little better in the passing game this year.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick the win too. I really like picking home field advantage, so I'm definitely going to be picking the youth to win here in Rice-Eccles. Hopefully it'll be a nice crisp October 8th, even though it's kind of early to be getting some cold air, but I would love to let the Bearcats down in is it Bearcats? I'm blanking out, but
Wildcats.
Get them in some cold, there you go.
They're going to lose either way.
Either way, I want them in the chilly weather, so they will increase the odds of losing. All right, Oregon State.
I've got that one down as a win. I think they're going to make a lot of strides, but last year Oregon State scored 18 points less than they gave up. The next worst in the Pac-12 was Colorado, which was about 3 points less than they gave up. Oregon State was terrible last year, and I think they're going to make significant strides forward, but Utah shouldn't be challenged just on a pure athletic and talent standpoint, and I think Coach Witt's a better coach, and so I think it's going to be a win.
Yeah, as much as I said it's the game I could see being a trap game, that does not mean I'm going to take Oregon State to win this game. It's Utah all the way. I mean, it's really I'm totally going to diss on Oregon State a little bit, but I mean, it's up to Utah. If they show up focused, ready to play, I don't see any way in which Oregon State is going to be winning that game. So, all right, UCLA.
I've got that one down as a loss. I think UCLA is going to be likely to come out of the South as the champion. I think they're a little bit underrated. I think all this hype about Washington has kind of drowned out UCLA, who, they're returning almost everything. They were quite good last year, and I don't love their coach, but when you have that much talent and that good of a quarterback, it's hard to see them losing a bunch of games.
Yeah, and once again, I'm taking, where is this game being played at? It's being played down south. I'm expecting, unfortunately, the youth to lose this one, and although it will be a critical South Division game, I agree with you. I think there's going to be, I think UCLA has been overshadowed by all this Washington hype, and there will be, unfortunately, heck, this is my first loss prediction of the year. This will be one hell of a season if I keep at this rate. So
we come into that game, what would that be? 7-0? UCLA will be probably top 10 team at that time. That'll be game day, huh? That would be fun.
Oh, yeah, totally. Unfortunately, down in SoCal. Maybe they win, and then it gets to this next game, and this game, if all the hype pulls out through, would be one of Utah's opportunity to have game day here. It's against UW, Washington. Got to give a plug to the Ultimate Pac-12 podcast. They are another Torn by Sports podcast. They will be in town for that game. And so that's a big game I have circled on a schedule. Where do you see that one going?
I've got that down as a W. I get where the hype is coming from. The advanced metrics really favor Washington this year, and I think they are going to be really good. I think that they've got the ability to win every game on their schedule. But we know their game, and it's the kind of game that Utah can handle, and Utah can beat them. I worry about specific sort of styles of offense and approaches, and UW just doesn't take the approaches that Coach Winningham and his staff and his team struggle with. So I think they will win though.
Okay, I agree. I think the hype's a little bit too much. As you know, I know a lot of people who like the analytics in baseball and basketball, and it's starting to, you know, I'm starting to see it more in football, but I'm going against the analytics. In essence, I'm pulling a Charles Barkley, and I'm choosing the Utes to beat Washington. All right, Arizona State down again at ASU.
I've got that down as a win. I think Arizona State's going to be pretty darn bad this year. By the time we get to that game, I think that we're not going to be thinking about it as interesting. We're used to thinking about Arizona State as a challenging opponent. I think this year is going to be a real down year for them. Towards the bottom of the conference, it wouldn't surprise me if they were under Colorado in the South. So I think that we should walk away with that one pretty easy.
Wow, that's pretty bold. Under Colorado, I thought it was going to be, and I do think it's going to be a down year for ASU. It's hard for me to say they're going to be worse than Colorado has been these past few years, because I think Colorado's still that bottom dweller. But I agree with you. This is a win for another, you know, what should be an easier road win for Utah in preparation for what is going to be potentially a huge home game against Oregon. So does Oregon get revenge, or does Utah get a two-game win streak against Oregon?
I think the Utes have Oregon's number. I think they know how to play defense against them, and they clearly have Oregon's defense figured out. I don't think Oregon's gonna get any better on defense anytime soon. And I think everybody's sort of penciling in their new quarterback as being as good as last year's, but that's a pretty dangerous assumption to make. That guy can really play. And while we know some of the stuff about the new guy, we're not sure. It's still a question mark. And sometimes questions are answered yes, and sometimes they're answered no. And I think we're giving a little bit too much credit to Oregon on the subject of their quarterback. So I think that we'll win again. I don't know if it'll be a blowout like it was last time, but I think it's going to be a comfortable victory for you.
Well, I see. I just can't do it. I want to take Utah to win this one, but I think Oregon has had this one circled since last year.
I think everyone would agree with that.
And I think the level of success Utah had against Oregon last year, I just find it hard to believe that's going to be continued. So, I mean, I agree with you to some extent that it's clearly not going to be that big of a margin. I think this game just tells me all the way that it's – or not all the way. I think it's going to be close, but I think Oregon finds a way to win this game. And so we both have them penciled at two losses at this point, heading into a Colorado game that I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same pick, but I'll let you go first.
I'm not. I've got the same feeling about Colorado as you do about Oregon. I just have a bad feeling I think we're going to lose Colorado. Here I am. Every other pick is all numbers and crunch and everything. I just look at this one. I say, this just feels like the year where we've got a really good season going and Colorado cuts us out right at the knees. No reason, no stats, no support. I'll probably be wrong. I certainly hope so. I just got a bad feeling about Colorado in 2016.
Well, you will be wrong because the Utes are going to win this game. And I just don't, like, you know, where you were saying you think the Utes have Oregon's number at this point, I think the Utes have Colorado's number at this point. I don't, you know, I think that, you know, the first couple years in the Pac-12, you know, where they had the slip up, I just don't think that's going to be the case anymore. I think we're going to be winning against Colorado on a regular basis, and I expect that to be the same this year. And to be honest with you, I really hope you're wrong. I'd much rather stick with my 10-2 pick than your 9-3.
I have a feeling, and I, you know, I can't deny that feeling that I got here. One thing I am interested to see with Colorado is usually when a team has the same quarterback, you expect the offense to be more or less the same. I'm curious to see what kind of impact the loss of Nelson Spruce is going to have. He was a really transcendent player and single-handedly carried that offense through a number of games. So I'm curious to see if they're going to take a bigger step back than you might expect from losing a receiver than you normally see when that happens.
Yeah, no, it'll be an interesting thing. I think, you know, I've kind of liked there's a good amount of turnover on the quarterback position throughout the Pac-12, and there's been, you know, there's just been, you know, the normal college football turnover, but I like how there's, you know, there's question marks around the league. I think the league is going to be pretty entertaining to see what happens throughout the Pac-12 conference football schedule. But, you know, like I said, it looks like I've got the Utes going 10-2. You've got on that 9-3. They'll clearly be in a pretty good, I would imagine, a pretty good bowl game. And hopefully we're both wrong and they go on to see how that sounds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the numbers aren't as favorable as kind of my eyeballs are to the Utes. They, most of the projections I'm seeing are between 6 and 8 wins. But it's hard to believe because we know this team and we know this coach and they don't really let that kind of thing happen. And in a year like this one, and I've never heard, I don't know about you, but I've never heard Coach Winningham talk about an offense like this before. He's downright excited about Troy Williams. And, you know, he's not somebody who sort of gets flowery prose just to make guys feel good about themselves. He tends to be, if anything, kind of a downer about our hopes for the offense. And they certainly know that they're playing against a great defense in practice. So if they're having success, I think that does bode well for the season. It bodes better for the season than you might expect from the event.
I agree. I mean, I'm pretty excited about this youth season. Excited that, you know, Williams is so good, but Huntley is so good. He beat out Brandon Cox. I mean, that's for the second string. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be excited for this Utah football team, the program, and what's going to happen this season. Do you have any final thoughts to close this thing up?
My favorite thing about this team is the depth of the defensive line. I can't believe that we sent our backup defensive tackle to USC, the University of Southern California. He is not only starting, but he's expected to star on the team. And we didn't even notice. The depth is still incredible. There's still six youths on the defensive line to play on Sundays. And, you know, more power to the guy for going out and kind of making his own way. But I think this defensive line could be the best in the country by the end of the year. And I think the defense could be truly great. Usually we kind of rank in the top 20 or 15 or thereabouts, but this could be a really, really special D this year if Scally and Witt can hold it together.
Yep, I totally agree. Well,
Tom Wood.
Oh, my gosh, please. Well, man, we're not, I don't know how I can end the show knocking on wood for no injuries. Like, that is just a horrible way to end. But, you know, let me just say, it's going to be a great season. It's going to be fun to watch. Can't wait to get to the opening game against SUU. I've never been this excited to watch what should be a throwaway game. And may everyone enjoy a good college football season. Please, thanks for tuning in for this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. We'll have more episodes come in, more interviews like the normal expectations. And go Utes.
Go you.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.